Genesis 21. Let's go to the Word of God. 21st chapter in the Word of God. We've been dealing with the subject. Your due date is here. That represents the arrival of Isaac. Something Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for. Now let's look at verse number 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spit in a bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee? Hagar, fear not. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw the well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach with us, saith the Lord. Use the Bible. Use the Bible. Help us. There's power in this book. And yet as powerful as it is, it can't help us if we don't let it. So on a Wednesday night in the month of May, 2018, may we be willing recipients of Bible help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Your due date's here. You've been waiting for this baby, Sarah. You've been praying for this miracle, Abraham. You've been trusting God. You've been moving along. You've been on this journey. You've had some ups and downs, some good times and bad times. You've had diverse circumstances, trials and tribulations. You started with some that you've lost along the way. You've gained some things that you didn't start with. But through it all, you've been waiting on the promise of God, and it's here. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm glad that when we refuse to get weary in well-doing, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Abraham didn't faint. By the way, if you faint, when the blessing arrives, you won't be there to receive it. So here comes the baby, the miraculous conception. God did a miracle. God's the only one that can do a miracle. And if he's going to do a miracle in your life, he's the only one that can do it. And he did it. And when the miraculous conception came along, the meaningful compliance of Abraham had to fall in line. He had to do what God said with what God blessed him with. And listen to me now. The blessings of God, aren't they wonderful? He maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. But listen to me now, beloved. With every blessing of God comes stewardship. Come on. I mean, we're not just recipients of God's blessings to do what we want. Listen to me. The blessing not only comes from God, but the blessing must be used for God. Compliance. Compliance about the calling of this baby. Compliance about the circumcising of this baby. Compliance about the commitment while you're waiting for this baby. The motivated celebration is, God, you did it. God, you did it. By the way, don't get so happy about the blessing that you forget to praise him. Don't get so eager to use the blessing that you forget to praise him. By the way, did you praise God for anything today? Because you were on the receiving end of his blessings. Amen. You got a Bible tonight. You got brand new mercies today. God's been faithful to you today. You made it to the house of God on a Wednesday night. That's a blessing of God. Don't get so engaged in utilizing the blessing that you forget from where the blessing flowed. There's a celebration, particularly distinctively, the celebration of his weaning, which was to take place at either 3 or 5 years old. We're not exactly sure. But they celebrated not just the birth of the baby, but they celebrated the growth of the baby. And that is a simple sign to us that it's not just good that we get saved, but it's good that once we get saved, we grow in the Lord. And by the way, I have to believe that you're in church on a Wednesday night because you want to grow in the Lord. Amen. We celebrate the salvation of people around here at Crossroads Baptist Church, but we don't want to just leave them as infants. We want to see them grow. We want to see them wean. We want to see them develop. And by the way, we've got the nutrients to help them grow. There is growth and maturity from the Word of God. They celebrated that. What a blessing. And yet on the heels of this motivated celebration came messy contention. As Isaac grew, Ishmael started persecuting. Would you listen to me? I've said this last week and I'm repeating it again. The more you grow, sometimes the more persecuted you become. The closer you get to God, hear me now, come on. The closer you get to God, the further you're going to move from some people. The blessings of God. And by the way, that doesn't mean you want to go back and turn your blessing in. Amen. Don't you surrender to preach and then start finding out that some people aren't going to like you and go back to God and say, maybe I shouldn't have said yes. Don't you write that missions commitment card down a week from this coming Sunday and then find out the persecution comes and something happens on your job and some finances get tighter than they were before you wrote that commitment and then go back and say, maybe I shouldn't have made that commitment. Let me tell you something. The blessings and the moving and the direction of Almighty God, they fit within his will. They align with his providence. Don't you let persecution run you off from the blessing. The blessing is still good. Persecution comes with it. And here comes the ridicule. And to the ridicule, Sarah has a reaction. Get her out of here and him. The agonizing remorse of Abraham is that he's caught in the middle. Sarah wants him gone, but he's still my boy. Would you listen to me tonight, beloved? You're not going to serve God the way he wants you to serve God without at some point having to give up things you love. And I was talking to somebody this week, and they just, well, I just don't understand. You know, we kind of compartmentalize our submission to God. And we have areas where we willingly submit because they don't mean that much to us. And come on. I mean, it's not too hard to come to church on Sunday night. You start getting with people's wins tonight. Now God's messing with your own time. I mean, Sunday I was off Saturday. Huh? But Wednesday I had to work today. God, I was okay with that weekend day, but now you start messing with my weekday. Don't you know I'm coming from work and I'm heading back to work and trying to mash in an hour and a half service in between all of that ruckus I got to deal with? Watch it, God. You're hitting some areas close to me. Yeah, we're trying to find out if Isaac is the only one growing up. Come on. Isaac can't be the only one growing. Abraham's got to be growing. He's 100 years old, and God is still trying to find out if he's mature. You don't have to be mature to receive a blessing from God, but you got to be mature to know how to handle it. And there's some people of God that look real good picking up the blessing from the spiritual grocery store, but they look real clueless taking it back home to the kitchen and trying to figure out how to fix it into a meal that tastes good. Listen to me. You need God not only to bless you, you need God to direct you on how to handle the blessing. Contention. So he obeys God, the masterful conversation that we talked about last week. God showed up. God knew how hard it was for him to dismiss Hagar and Ishmael. And God didn't show up in the middle of the night and say, "What you crying about, man? What you whining about? Get him out of there and hush your mouth." God showed up with him and as if to say, "I know this is tough. I know this is difficult. I know you're stepping in new terrain." And by the way, somebody in here sitting tonight, you're moving closer to God, but moving closer to God is taking you further away from people. It's taking things. By the way, Jesus sometimes can't get into our life because our lives are too crowded. But when he does get in, instead of our lives being crowded with things, Jesus begins to crowd things out. And the further he comes into our lives, the less non-essential things really matter. You're going to learn that, young people. As you grow and mature, you move further along the line of adulthood, you're going to find out that some of them little toys that used to mean everything to you as a child mean nothing to you as an adult, because you're going to find out when toys break, Jesus never fails. Let her go. Let her go. Don't be grievous about it. Don't hesitate about it. Let her go. Let him go. What in your life is God saying on a Wednesday night? Let it go. Come on, all you Frozen movie fans. Let it go. Let it go. Spiritual maturity requires us to let some things go. And God will help you through it. You got a habit, you can't get closer to God without seeing stuff in your life that has to go. Come on. If you get saved, you come to church 3 times a week and you read your Bible every day and you never see anything that Jesus is crowding out of your life, you are ignoring the voice of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about things that matter. And you hang on a little bit, beloved, because God is going to test Abraham about Isaac too a little bit later. But for now, you're not ready to be tested about Isaac if you won't let go of Ishmael. Amen. Young man, I hate to bust your bubble, but you are not ready for the pastorate if you can't soul win in the pew. You better get Ishmael right before you go fooling with Isaac. And so this masterful conversation that led him to let her go and to send her away with a blessing, rose up early, obeyed God. Submissive commitment, his sincere concern, his sacrificial contribution. He gave her bread. He gave her a bottle of water. He put it on her shoulder. I'm letting you go. It was one of the hardest things Abraham had ever done. But here's what he's saying. If I obey God, he'll take care of you. Now I want you to look here in the next couple of minutes as we move forward to what I call a miserable condition. Look where Hagar ended up. The water was spent. How many of you have found out that it's a matter of time before what you give people runs out? It runs out. That is why we cannot begin to think that the Christian life can be sustained by human provision. And if you've been saved long enough, you have found yourself trying to play the role of God in somebody's life as if to say, if I'm not helping them, they can't make it. And God sometimes tells you to let them go so, number one, you can find out that you are expendable, and number two, you can find out you can't take care of anybody better than God can. Let them go. Be because right now they're a distraction. This is an Isaac thing. There's so much preaching in here, I don't have time to preach all of it. But it's almost as if God is saying, if you want to dwell in the perfect will of God, you're going to have to get out that good and bad and get into that better and best. And look, Isaac's not bad, but Ishmael's not bad, but Isaac is best. Ishmael's not bad, but Isaac is better. And we're not talking about who was a better child. We're talking about who represented the perfect will of God. Here's what he's saying. Ishmael's here and Isaac's here. Ishmael represents the flesh. Isaac represents the spirit. Watch it now. The two cannot coexist. Do you see this Bible preaching? Galatians chapter 4. I might make you turn there. Get your finger ready. Ishmael's a sign of the flesh. And the flesh brings bondage. Ishmael's a sign of the law. And the law condemns us. Isaac is a sign of the spirit. The spirit brings liberty. Come on. Isaac's the sign of grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much. Are you listening to me tonight? Ishmael is a sign of what I can do in my own strength. Isaac is a sign of what I can only do through God's strength. Now I'm asking you tonight, are you living in the Ishmael zone or the Isaac zone? You're singing in the flesh or the spirit? When you stand up on that platform, when you teach that Sunday school class, when you preach in that pulpit, could you have done it just as well without God? Here's why I think some of us are stymied in spiritual progress. And if you really go to Galatians chapter 4, I don't want to go there because I may never get back. But Paul is giving, the reason why Paul used this example in Galatians is because he was confronting the issue of Judaism. Are you looking here? Let me teach you tonight. And Judaism was a mixture of the law and grace. And those Judaizers had crept their way into churches and confused the people of God into believing that in order to be saved, you needed the law and grace. Now watch this now. In order to mix the law and grace, you have to mix the flesh and the spirit. And by mixing the law and grace, here's what I'm saying. God needs me in order to save me, and God is not enough to save me without. If you listen to me tonight, that's dangerous territory. Can I tell you, if he put the sun in place and he put the moon in space and he made us from nothing and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, my friend, if his Holy Ghost convicted you, if Jesus hung and bled and suffered for your sins, my friend, he doesn't need us to save us. I'm glad that when I got saved, it was all of God and none of me. By the way, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and you put your faith and trust in him and accepted him by faith to save your soul, can I tell you, you cannot lose your salvation. However, you can borrow from the ideology of the pre-saved believer, and even though you're going to heaven, you can regress and divert and dip back into the old man to try to sustain yourself, only to find out that old man, all that dwells in him is foolishness and no good thing. I'm tired of Christianity that reeks of the flesh. And hear me now. It's not just people that are doing bad stuff. It's people that are trying to do good stuff a bad way. Ishmael wasn't bad. He just wasn't best. And Abraham, every Christian in the building tonight that thinks you're going to be the first that surrendered your life to God without having to give up something that hurt, stop wasting your time. Listen, the climb in the Christian life always demands sacrifices that hurt. Well, be careful that we teach these children that this is not patty cake Christianity. But be careful. That's why they graduate and they don't want to come back to church, because they walk out in the real world and the devil goes, I don't care what Christian school you went to. I don't care who your parents' last name is. If you're going to live for God, it's going to cost you. And they go, oh, no, it didn't cost me for 12 years. All I did was ride off of my parents' coattail. And now you mean tell me I got to read my Bible every day for myself if I'm going to conquer temptation? Oh, fooey with that. I'll just live for the devil. And some of them, because they go to churches with such shallow preaching. And the churches have brought God so far down to the people's level that these kids don't think they have to be holy. And then when they find out that that carnal worship on Sunday doesn't translate to holy living on Monday, they hightail out of there, go down to a church that requires nothing but showing up and still living like the devil. They go to church on Sunday, live for the world on Saturday, live for the devil on Monday, have no spirituality, end up wrecking their lives, and everybody stands around and goes, how can somebody with that much church and that much Bible in him live such a wicked life? You're not godly because you hear the Bible. You're not godly because you're a member of a church. You're not godly because your mom and daddy love God. You're godly because step by step, day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice, decision after decision, regardless of mama, daddy, preacher, school, friends, fad, trend, status quo, you decide to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen. I don't care what age it is. You're not going to find another way to be a good Christian but that way. Stop wasting your time and don't pay no attention to any preacher that tells you otherwise. Pastor, what's this got to do with Abraham? I'm telling you, it has everything to do with Abraham. You think costly decisions to live for God started when your parents told you you couldn't go to the prom? Or your mama told you you couldn't wear that. We're in Genesis chapter 21. And God says, one book into the Bible, let me let you know from the jump, you're going to serve me, it's going to cost. You want your marriage to count, sir? It's going to cost. You can't just flippantly live for how you want to live and expect to come out with a stellar marriage when the devil is launching his most vile attacks at the home. See why I didn't go to Galatians 4? I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to talk about it like you did turn there. Too many believers would never claim to be Judaizers. But too much of their Christian life is lived in the realm of a mixture of flesh and spirit. You cannot please God in the flesh. I didn't say you couldn't be in a ministry. I just said you couldn't please God. I didn't say you couldn't put together a sermon. And I didn't even say God could take your sermon because it's his words and use it to help people. I'm just saying you, my man, can't please God in the flesh. Well, I don't understand. People were moved by my song and they came to the altar and they told me after the service, I blessed them. Yeah, that wasn't you, that was God. You didn't please him. The words pleased him because he was the author of them. I wish 18 or so of you would say amen. But what about Ishmael? And what about Hagar? Watch this now. Because some little carnal Christian, when you start cutting off things in your life that don't belong, is going to come reading the guilt trip on you. I can't believe you pushed those people aside. I can't believe you just disowned your friend that way. I can't believe you put your child out. Your flesh and blood. How can you sleep at night? Here they come. They're swimming in carnality, and they're mad because they can't even get you to put your big toe in the water. You hear what I'm saying? And they're going to come reading your rights to you. Right? Here's God. Isn't it like God the Holy Ghost to take a story in the Bible and be so illuminating that he lets us look in on Abraham while he's sending them out and look in on Hagar while he's taking care of them? It's as if from heaven, God's going, I got this. The water was spent. There's only so much you can do to help people before you have to give them to God. Fill up the water bottle and give it to them. But you can't keep sending water. Preach, Pastor. What, Pastor, what's wrong with me still sending water? The Bible tells us to love people. And here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you don't have a right to keep filling up Ishmael's water bottle at the expense of Isaac. I think it's a good thing for Christian people to do good things. I don't think it's a good thing for Christian people to do good things at the expense of tithing. Now, Pastor, you didn't see my money, but I rest assured it went to a good way. It ain't good if you did something bad to do good. The water was spent. That's not Abraham's fault. What are you doing, Abraham? I'm taking care of Isaac. Look here just a moment. You can't save the world. By the way, if you plunge into spiritual disobedience, not only will you not save the world, you won't survive yourself. I've known Christian people that wanted to be involved in 18 things and weren't average at any of them because they couldn't concentrate on what God called them to. I know pastors that they like the preacher, but they don't really like the pastor. So they're gonna save the world and lose their church. You better know what God calls you to. And you better quit killing yourself trying to save somebody God told you to let go. Because you'd be spending all your water bill on Ishmael, and Isaac is going to die of dehydration. The perfect will of God will be abandoned while you pursue the permissive will of God. Is anybody listening tonight? If you are, I just might just stop in about 3 minutes. There was a depleted position. There was a desperate predicament. She put him in the shrubs. Remember, this boy could be 17 or 19 years old. He has to be 14 years older than Isaac. This ain't no little baby. But how many of you know it don't matter how old you are? If you don't have food and water, you're going to die. He was so weak, so malnourished, so dehydrated, so depleted that his mama set him in the shrubs and walked away saying, he's going to die and I can't bear to look at it. Good night, Allah. Some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. Because you know why? You ain't never dropped nobody off and knew that unless God came through, they weren't going to make it. And when you do, you find yourself walking away and turning your head. How depleted she was, how desperate she was, and how demoralized her plight was. I'm gonna quit here and give you the merciful conclusion next time in a couple weeks. I just want to leave in ponder mode because this building is full of good people tonight. You wouldn't come to church tonight unless you, or some of you kids might not have a choice. The rest of you grown folk. You wouldn't be in here church tonight, for the most part, unless you had a desire to live for God. Don't you think that's commendable? Do you think it's commendable that a Christian person would come to church on a Wednesday night? If you agree with that, would you say amen?
Amen.
It is commendable, but it's not enough. I cannot promise you that because you were here tonight, that every temptation you face tomorrow, you'll conquer. I cannot promise you if you'll give God 3 times a week in a good independent fundamental Baptist church that preaches the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, here and there a little, and over where. Listen, I cannot promise you that 5 years from now, because of your tenure at Crossroads Baptist Church, you will be off limits for the devil and your marriage will be beyond reproach. It's not enough. Here's what I can tell you. You have been gifted with the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit is leading, the flesh must be dying. Yeah. Somebody said to me today, recently, what do you worry about? You know, in the Christian life, you got all these people talking, and boy, if you serve God long enough, everybody be talking about you, and this person doesn't like this, and this person doesn't think this about you. You know what I told him? I said, are you kidding me? I can't get caught up with all of that.
That's right.
I died a long time ago. I don't have time to be dressing up a corpse. When I've got something that's alive that needs to be taken care of. Are you listening? Now, this is Bible preaching. This is not convenient preaching. But this is not a massage parlor, it's a church. And I'm trying to get you out that rut. I'm trying to get you out that redundant, repetitious cycle that your Christian life has been characterized for the last several years because you are doing Christian things without living a Christian life. And I'm here to tell you, put your CBC card down. Put your ministry involvement card down. Put your spiritual reputation card down. Put your list of accolades and your fundamental portfolio aside and quit running off your reputation and start living in the Spirit of God. Because until then, you're going to be like Abraham, trying to keep both boys under the same roof when they represent two different natures. Now, you can father, but listen, you can father both boys in the house, but you can't please God unless you cut loose one and invest in the other. Are you hearing me? And you can be a Christian that is housing the flesh and the spirit and entertaining them both, but you can't please God until you cast out one and cherish the other. Now, here's my question to you tonight. Are you ready to get rid of Ishmael and take your Isaac? Father, help us. Rah, 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 rah. We want the rah, 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 but I'm going to tell you, sometimes the Christian life is not a celebration. It's a mourning. Solomon said sometimes it's better to go to a funeral than it is a feast to get our minds in check. Whew. How much preaching, how much Holy Ghost convicting have you been doing about Ishmael? And how much time have we been wasting trying to house both? Give us the grit and the guts to follow your leading. In Jesus' name, amen.